Coast Certified Studios in beautiful downtown Burbank. This is National Bugle Radio.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. Today's particularly exciting because I have with me Mark Dankoff. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, Dr. Slattery, good to be with you. We got all kinds of ugly things to talk about, don't we?
Ugly, yes. Isn't there a show on RBN, The Ugly Truth? Yeah, it's ugly. So we've got the ugliness around Judge Kavanaugh, and we've got, the ugly foreign policy. Well, I'll say the ugly stuff that's always going on in the Middle East. What do you want to start talking about?
Well, why don't we start with Kavanaugh, and if we need to take Pepto-Bismol, we can then move on to the Middle East. How's that?
Okay, that sounds nauseating.
Yes. Terrific.
So, okay, with Kavanaugh, I mean, how do we even look at this? There's the one issue that you've got two women who admit that they were drunk and can't remember key things about their alleged stories, like when they happened, where they happened, who was there. Even in the case of the second woman, Ramirez, who did it? I mean, she was on the floor and a week ago couldn't remember who she thought had exposed himself to her. And now, after talking to a lawyer for a week, suddenly seems to have remembered. So there's the one aspect of the baselessness of the allegations. But then there's the other aspect of, so for instance, with Judge Ford, okay, she was attending these drunken parties as a teenager and apparently well into her 20s. I mean, this was like her thing. She would go to these drunken parties. And so
I went to a lot of these in college because I went to a German Lutheran university, but everyone there was Republican, so there's nothing that's surfacing 40 some odd years later.
Well, I mean, I was just going to say, parties, these drunken teenage parties in, D.C. or wherever, how unusual would it be if somebody tried to make out with her? And if it's a pool party, how unusual would it have been if somebody tried to pull down her bathing suit strap or something like that? I mean, even what's being accused, when you consider that you're talking 30, in both cases, 35 or 36 years later, because the second instance is supposed to be the freshman year of college. So if a high school student or a freshman in college were even to try the things that are being alleged, 35, 36 years later, what does that even mean? So you can approach this from any angle you want.
Well, I mean, it's obvious. You look at this whole situation, and it's utterly preposterous that people cannot see this for what it is. This is a left-wing, culturally Marxist lynch mob that is out to get this guy for about three reasons in particular. One, they're concerned that he's going to support Trump on some of the immigration issues that may come before the court. The second issue is the Roe versus Wade abortion decision. And, of course, all of these Jewish feminists and pro-Jewish feminists and feminazis who think that abortion should continue as to in along the lines of what Jane Gardner up in Canada years ago called abortion, the Jewish sacrament, that somehow Kavanaugh threatens this. Then, of course, there's the sacrament of homosexual and lesbian marriage that the Obergefell decision with the Supreme Court 3 years ago ensconced in American quote-unquote law, even though they were making the law, not interpreting law. So this is all at risk to them in this Kavanaugh situation, and that's why they will do anything. They will pull any maneuver, no matter how low, no matter how despicable it might be, to get Kavanaugh. And then, of course, obviously, virtually anything that Donald Trump is going to do, they're going to oppose just because it's Trump. But this is all at issue here. And when you have a United States senator, a lady U.S. senator from Hawaii, who says that women don't lie in these situations.
You're referring to Mazie Hirono.
Hirono, yeah. Years ago, of course, I lived in Hawaii, and when Hiram Fong and Dan Inouye were the U.S. senators, and now Ms. Hirono, or Hirono, however her name is pronounced, I imagine it's Hirono, is saying, quote-unquote, that men just ought to shut up. Mm-hmm. That women don't love in these situations. Well, this is not only an outlandish statement for anyone in the U.S. Senate to make. This is this flies in the face of common sense. This flies in the face of decency. Yeah. And most important of all, it flies in the face of objective evidence. So when we start looking at this whole business with Kavanaugh, we are struck by the difference between the way Kavanaugh is being handled and the way this situation is being handled up in Minnesota right now, where you have a who almost became the head of the Democratic National Committee.
Keith Ellison.
Yeah, Keith Ellison, who is running.
Black Muslim congressman.
Yes, who is running, of course, for the Attorney General of Minnesota slot, and two Democratic women, as I understand it, who are members of the Democratic Party, have stepped up to accuse him of all kinds of sexual misconduct. And not only is this not being covered at all, the way the Kavanaugh thing is being covered, virtually not being covered at all, in, up to and including the statements made by at least one of these Democrat women who has accused Ellison that she is being smeared by Democratic Party operatives and cohorts and past friends to keep her quiet. So this is not being covered by Wolf IPAC Blitzer on CNN for all of the obvious reasons. And so we get back to the fact that in this society of ours today, and I think Paul Craig Roberts did it as well as anyone, we are suddenly dealing with emotion, not objective analysis and application of law, and it's an emotion that is being driven by a radical left agenda, and specifically on these cultural issues, a radically culturally Marxist Jewish Bolshevik agenda, if we might speak that clearly at this particular point. They will do anything to destroy Kavanaugh, not simply Kavanaugh because of the fact that on immigration, abortion on demand, in homosexual and lesbian marriage, they're afraid of reversals of some key decisions. But Kavanaugh is, as we've discussed before, I believe, on this show, certainly we've talked about it on Dr. Duke's show, Kavanaugh is just the latest to be publicly assassinated by such people. We can go back to Judge Robert Bork years ago and the despicable process that Ed Don't Get in the Car with Him Kennedy led on Judge Bork's credentials.
Well, how about Ed, I'll drive Kennedy.
Yes, Ed, I'll drive Kennedy.
Ted, I guess we call him Ted. Teddy, I'll drive Kennedy.
Yeah. That's right. Years ago, I was censored on CNN when I was running for the U.S. Senate, by the way, in Delaware. And this goes back to some current things being alleged against Senator Tom Carper involving punching his wife in the face once. That was several years before I knew Tom. But at any rate,
I just want to – I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have to. So I don't know Tom Carpenter, and I don't know what he's like. But did anybody ever say have you stopped beating your wife?
Yes, that's right. And if you know Tom Carper, I'm acquainted with him. Yeah, I never started. That's And then of course when they produced the pictures.
It's a yes or no question. Yes or no question.
But at least Carper, Mark Dankoff or I Thomas Carper?
Oh no, I talked. Wolf Blitzer, maybe. That's what we should ask.
Wolf, yeah, that's right. And it's or have you ever beaten your gay lover, Wolf? I mean, something really objective. But years ago, when I was running somebody from CNN, I believe it was Upper Newark, shoved this microphone in my face and was talking to me. Of course, they were trying to get me because I was a paleocon in this Delaware Senate race. The state dailies down there had described me not altogether unfairly as the minister plenipotentiary of the Texas gun lobby in the U.S. Senate race in Delaware. And I got a kick out of that. I still remember that part of it fondly. But at any rate, they asked me, well, tell me, Pastor, would you go out at a party where there were going to be dates along with Barney Frank and Ted Kennedy? And my response to that was, I'd go if Barney drove and Kennedy chose the dates. Now, This got out on CNN Live for approximately 10 seconds, at least in the East Coast, and then it was absolutely deep-sixed. And nonetheless, I had my 10 minutes or 10 seconds in the sunlight, the daylight, and then the word got around, we better not give this guy any more opportunities to pop off, because obviously he knows how to pop off, and we didn't think he knew how to pop off, and therefore, let's just leave this guy alone. He creates some real trouble for us in this deal. So, again, we get back to this whole issue of fundamental fairness. Kavanaugh is clearly being subjected to something that should not be in a county traffic court, much less the Senate Judiciary Committee, attempting to determine the fitness of a U.S. Supreme Court nominee. And at the end of the day, and I think David Duke put it well earlier, if Kavanaugh can be subjected to something like this, which makes what happened to Bob Bork and Clarence Thomas look good by comparison, any of us in any walk of American society who fit the profile that we happen to fit, white, European of some sort, male, preferably over 45, right, to really be attacked with right-of-center views. And this gets back into a much larger and draconian implication that lies behind all of this. Years ago, Chuck Baldwin, whom I knew in the Constitution Party years ago, and Chuck, of course, was their presidential candidate a handful of years ago, Baldwin uncovered a thing going on up in the state of Missouri where the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith was working not only with Missouri state law enforcement, but also with federal law enforcement agencies to profile, quote, potential domestic terrorists in the United States. Now, who fit that profile that they developed? They weren't talking about Islamic radicals. They weren't talking about anybody at all on the far Marxist left, any of these anarcho groups with undefined political ideologies. They zeroed in on white males who believed that marriage should be defined as that between a man and a woman. White males that tended to be pro-life or were pro-life, white males who legally own firearms, and last before least, and this is where Baldwin enters the picture, Chuck was rather steamed when he found out that the FBI and the ADL and Missouri law enforcement had a profile put together of potential domestic terrorists, which included anyone who would vote for, quote, Pat Buchanan, Ron Paul, or Chuck Baldwin of the Constitution Party. And so there you have it. That far back in the stream, this is the game that the established has been playing, and it's only painfully obvious now as we watch the totally despicable character of this attempted neo-Marxist lynching of Kavanaugh.
Right. Okay. And so it's and it's not about what character flaws or indiscretions he may have committed as a teenager. Of course, it has nothing to do with that, and it has everything to do with what they're afraid is going to happen with the Supreme
Court. Exactly.
You mentioned a few things from cultural Marxism, abortion, gay marriage. What was the other one?
Immigration.
And immigration. Yeah, and of course, immigration. Yeah, a lot of these, a lot of what's been going on with immigration, especially the stymieing of Donald Trump's preferred policies, the policies that got him elected as president. That, you know, these have been lower court injunctions and whatnot, and they are going to come to the Supreme Court. So that's a big deal. The gay marriage thing is pretty new, and is it really settled law? With the abortion, I'm wondering, so if Kavanaugh is confirmed, and if he is as conservative as people think he's going to be, it would put, I guess, Justice Roberts as the swing vote in the new court. With Kavanaugh, I mean, he has called abortion settled law. That doesn't mean it can't be overturned. You can overturn settled law. I know that they're going to play up abortion because it gets, I mean, their people have been riled up for 40 years. For 40 years, they've basically been told that all of politics pretty much revolves around a woman's right to choose, abortion. And I've got my own views on abortion, which, you know, if at some point we could talk about. But what I'm wondering is, I mean, already Roe versus Wade, wasn't it chipped at somewhat with the Casey, what was it, Casey versus somebody, Governor Casey of California, of Pennsylvania.
Or Pennsylvania, yeah.
Yeah, he was a...
Casey versus Planned Parenthood, I think.
Right, Casey versus Planned Parenthood, and that chipped away at it somewhat. But I'm really wondering if abortion, as you know, it's practiced now, how much of a threat is it in the near future? Under the court that would have Kavanaugh as its newest member, and you know Roberts as its swing vote. Really, does it face anything more than marginal change? In your opinion, what do you think?
I think the nature of your question is excellent, and I personally think the whole issue is overblown in terms of any alleged immediate threat or threat generally that Kavanaugh might pose to the Roe v. Wade decision. My reading of this thing, first of all, if you go back historically, it tends to be lost by a lot of pro-life people, and I happen to be one of them, but I'm also a political realist. These folks tend not to recognize the number of Republican nominees to the Supreme Court who have voted for the pro-choice position. This is not to say what I think Kavanaugh would do, but we also must be reminded that it was Anthony Kennedy, a so-called Roman Catholic and Reagan appointee to the Supreme Court, who was the swing vote in the Obergefell decision that led to the full canonization of queer marriage in the United States, overturning many state laws and so forth and so on. So both for that reason, as well as a lot of political realism about what the Supreme Court justices tend to be like if they actually get confirmed, I don't personally believe that Roe versus Wade is under serious threat. As much as I would like for it to be, I don't think it will be. And again, this is a lot of fear-mongering here, I think, as a means of getting all of this anti-Kavanaugh opposition that is in the country, all this anti-Trump stuff going on in the country, galvanized at this particular point, again, in a media circus that far outstrips even one of Clarence Thomas in the Anita Hill affair. So that's my reading of the whole situation. And again, what is totally frightening is that in this particular case, if someone like Kavanaugh, who has, at least in terms of his judicial career, and the many people that have come forth to defend him from his youth, Kavanaugh is someone who, on the basis of his credentials and anything that can be legitimately brought against him, is clean. And if the sort of thing that is going on here ever since Feinstein, having sat on this, Dianne Feinstein's had sat on this thing since July, then suddenly brings it forth, and as the whole thing continues to look less and less credible by the minute, Feinstein is suddenly nowhere to be found, and it's not even sure if she wants to be publicly present when this lady is formally interviewed. So when you watch this whole thing transpire, I find the whole process to terrifying, as Duke was saying on Rents earlier today. This is straight out of the Bolshevik playbook. And when Dr. Duke spent 5 years in Moscow and was doing a lot of research on communism and the history of Russia, he interviewed people that were still living at that particular point who remember these show trials of the 1930s and that type of thing. And certainly this is somewhat reminiscent of that. And I would even go so far as to contemporize it in regard to American culture and to say, if one goes back and looks at FDR's sedition trials in 1944 that were directed against America First, American conservatives who opposed his machinations to bring the United States into a war that they felt could have been avoided, this is where we're headed.
Okay.
The demonization of dissent.
I think we're headed into a break. I don't hear the music yet.
La da 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 da.
Yeah. I can hear you. Obviously, the well, boys be back.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers...
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick Slattery and Mark Dankoff. And Mark, so you were saying, we were talking about the Kavanaugh issue, and there's more to talk about, but you were interrupted by the break?
Yes, and you know, just in terms of this whole Kavanaugh thing, one of the things I'd recommend, and I talked about this on show on Rents today, is this Robert Bridge article that's on RT. If you search long enough, you'll find it there. And it deals with the treason and insanity, using his terms, that governs the character of this opposition to Trump that's being underscored by what's happening to Kavanaugh. And Bridge does a nice job of going more deeply into the not too distant past to see all of these instances of where people on the left, both in government as well as in entertainment and in media, have said things that have been absolutely despicable, and in several instances might be legitimately seen as violations of federal law when it comes to the threatening of the physical life of the President of the United States. Now, Rosenstein, Rod Rosenstein, as you were pointing out, was apparently quite willing to illegally wear a wire to attempt to wiretap a confidential conversation with the President of the United States. That should tell us all we need to know about Rosenstein. But even aside from Rosenstein, there have been other people that certainly have made statements that should grant them Secret Service interviews. Jerry Brown of California is apparently just the latest. And Robert Bridge was covering this thing where Brown recently gave an interview where he was bewailing the influence of Donald Trump. He was destroying America and destroying the world and so forth and so on. And he actually said something to the effect, and I don't have Bridges' text right in front of me here, but it was basically something on the order of something has to happen to this guy, quote unquote. And what did he mean by that? And taken in conjunction, as Bridge points out, with Charles Schumer's statements quite some time ago that Trump had better watch his step because the intelligence community didn't like him. By implication, might be prepared to take actions of its own. What are these people saying? What are they suggesting? What are they planting in the minds of people when these kinds of statements are made? Now, it's And this is highly inflammatory language. Mm-hmm. This is dangerous language and is borderline violation of federal law. I think these statements can be directly interpreted as a threat to the President of the United States, and it's in that context that we now have this latest with Kavanaugh.
Yeah, I was acquainted with somebody who was schizophrenic and went into a mental institution, and while in a like some group therapy session in the mental institution, said somebody ought to kill President Clinton. Well, guess who got a phone call from the Secret Service? I mean, they are obliged to look into these things no matter how. I mean, here's some guy in a mental institution. He's already in captivity. What's he going to do? And he's not saying he's going to do it. He's just saying somebody ought to shoot President Clinton. What's going on here? If it was just like crazy Maxine Waters saying something, you could just kind of sweep it off to the side and not think too much of it. But you're getting Governor Jerry Brown, big deal. The governor of the largest state. You've got the Senate majority leader or minority leader, basically the leader of the opposition in the United States, saying this. You've got ex-CIA chief John Brennan has gone farther than either of them, I think. He's calling Donald Trump treasonous. So they're really, really going far with this. And then when you couple that with the past 2 years plus of unprecedented maneuvers against first candidate and then President Donald Trump, where, you know, all these things that never happened before. I mean, buying off delegates, changing state primary and caucus rules after the fact to take away his delegates, the big coordinated effort to get electors not to vote for him, and when they couldn't peel off, when they didn't think they could peel off Republican electors, peeling off Democratic electors in order to provide this third alternative in Colin Powell. Which they did. And then after his inauguration, the whole Russia hoax thing, this hoax about the first Russia hacking the elections and then it just goes on and on and on. And then the talk about the 25th Amendment. This is all unprecedented. And then you talk with these things that you're mentioning, we're in a brave new world, aren't we?
Well, we're absolutely in a brave new world. And what we are talking about here is the complete destabilization of the American political process and all of the American political institutions that are supposed to govern that process. Now, the great irony is this. As this behavior toward Trump, whatever one thinks of Donald Trump, I am very critical of Donald Trump on the issue of Syria and Iran. Mm-hmm. That's a matter of public record. But when we get back, I'd like to discuss this process of delegitimization of him and what it might mean.
We will do that.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech. Quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
And we are back, National Bugle Radio, and we have Mark Dankoff with us, and we're talking about how incredibly isolated President Trump is, and especially in the foreign policy realm. So, you know, and we like some of the things he was talking about when he was running, not everything, but we like a lot of things he was talking about when he was running for president. But what's going on with that? What you mentioned Syria.
Well, as Syria continues to unfold, and the latest thing, of course, in recent days is Israel's role in conducting about their 200th illegal airstrike in Syria in the last 18 months, and the nature of the whole situation resulted in the accidental shootdown on the part of the Syrians of a Russian reconnaissance plane, an IL-20, that was doing routine reconnaissance of French naval movements in the Mediterranean as it relates to Syria. Now, as we read through what Philip Giraldi tells us today at antiwar.com and UNCE Review, talking about the path to World War III, this is where I think the full culpability of Israel in this situation is completely focused upon by an intelligence professional. Israel knew that if it positioned itself in a certain way, this F-16 positioned itself in a certain way, that the Syrian S-200 system would lock down on this unarmed Russian recon aircraft, which is exactly what happened, and the Syrians mistakenly shot that down, killing 15 Russian personnel on board, and that Israel's F-16 proceeded to emerge unscathed and to get back to home territory. Now, Giraldi underscores all of what Israel was about in that situation, and yet you have Mr. John Bolton, Donald Trump's national security advisor, blaming Iran, folks, for this shootdown. Now, The reason I bring this up is that it indicates to me that John Bolton obviously is not simply a radical Zionist. He's close to being a lunatic at this particular point of view. Yeah, and that as one listens to these incredible statements that he's making, and then you add to that mix Mike Pompeo and Nikki Haley in the bulletins and absolute lunacy that they issue as it relates to Syria and Iran, we can be forgiven for wondering, as paleocons and libertarians, why many of us voted for Donald Trump, with jaybirds like this running his foreign policy, who are nothing more than an extensions, frankly, of the Israeli government and of Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli lobby in the United States. I think that's a fair statement.
Oh, yeah.
And this is not simply, as Dr. Giraldi thinks today, drawing us more deeply into what Netanyahu wants, which is an overt American or American and Israeli attack on Iran, which is absolutely crazy, absolutely unjustified. But there's also a domestic spin on this that has largely been lost on both Trump's detractors as well as his supporters. Who is it that Donald Trump has at the head of this organization that is now finding its way into a redefinition of what constitutes anti-Semitism in the United States? When we look at this particular question,
is this like a State Department office of anti-Semitism?
That's my understanding. Mm-hmm. I don't have my notes right in front of me here, but this is something that I believe perhaps emanates from the Justice Department, or I'm sorry, the Department of Education. Mm-hmm. But in this particular case, there's been this long-standing case at Rutgers University dealing with this whole issue of anti-Semitism and what's allowed on campus and what's not allowed on campus in terms of criticism of the tribe. And it's quite obvious that what you have with the appointment of this Kenneth L. Marcus to this so-called Office of Civil Rights that I believe relates to the Department of Education in the U.S., and all of this, it is clear that the Trump administration is basically behind the scenes signing off on the kind of thing that characterized George W. Bush's launching of this whole idea of global anti-Semitism as it relates to this State Department group that monitors and defines anti-Semitism globally. And that's incredible, is when one looks at that whole issue of this the global anti-Semitism definition that this Department of the State Department developed in the Bush administration some years ago. It's clear that all kinds of things are being defined as anti-Semitic that are not anti-Semitic in any reasonable person's definition of the term, and that involve any criticism of Israel whatsoever, up to and including this whole business of affirming the position of the Christian New Testament in regard to the death of Jesus Christ, having been the direct result of a Jewish temple conspiracy, temple leadership conspiracy to execute Christ. That's clearly in the scriptures. That's clearly in the New Testament.
And in particular, the book of John, right?
Yes. So if one is in fact believing in that, because it is in the New Testament, rightly or wrongly, and I'm one who does believe it because I am a Christian, I am therefore, according to the global anti-Semitism people in the State Department, an anti-Semite, and this now extends into the sort of thing that we're seeing with this Kenneth Marcus, who, if you look at his online persona, he's an American attorney, he's an academic, he's a government official. But last but not least, when you really start getting into who he is, he was at the Brandeis University. He was the
University, which is the most, I guess, next to Yeshiva University, it's the most Jewish university in the United States.
She was previously the president and general counsel of the Louis D. Brandeis Center for Human Rights under law, and then he was nominated by Trump and confirmed, and this is the actual title through the U.S. Department of Education, the Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights. So that is the title description of the job that he now holds.
Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights, that sounds like it would be in the Justice Department then.
Well, they've got it under the U.S. Department of Education.
Why does the U.S. Department of Education have...
That's I think, a legitimate question, whatever the reason for that. It obviously is giving Marcus the power that he needs to go in and to define anti-Semitism, in this case at Brandeis University, in a way which...
Brandeis or Rutgers.
I'm sorry, Rutgers University in New Jersey, in a way which makes quote-unquote anti-Semites out of people who are supportive of this BDS or Boycott, Divestments, and Sanctions action against Israel. So this even includes many Jews on the political left who would support BDS, that according to Kenneth Marcus, they too are anti-Semites. So this is going on under Donald Trump on top of what is happening to American foreign policy, especially with Syria and with Iran. Mm-hmm. So this is an area where conservatives, paleocons, libertarians – need to say, hey, whatever the issue is going on with this Kavanaugh character, and there are some things in his legal background that need, in his professional background, that ought to be getting more attention as it relates to his professional past in that arena.
Yeah,
right?
And in the Bush, as an official in the Bush administration, which, is not necessarily a badge of honor.
Yeah, and heavy links to the Bush-Cheney people. Kavanaugh was the head of the official Vince Foster investigation, folks, dating back to Fort Marcy Park, and this interesting quote-unquote suicide of the chief legal counsel to President Bill Clinton under circumstances that I think any reasonable person would suspect murder one, a suspect political assassination. But Christopher Ruddy's book will cover that. We don't have time to get into all of that today, except to say Kavanaugh headed up that investigation. What does Kavanaugh believe about the war-making powers of the President of the United States, apart from the advice and consent of both houses of the American Congress? Those are legitimate questions. However, those questions about Kavanaugh, as well as questions about Kenneth L. Marcus, as well as questions about what this country is doing to legitimate domestic dissent in the United States, as well as what we're doing with Syria and Iran, this is all being lost in this obscene media circus that we are forced to talk about.
Yeah. I want to get back to Iran in particular. During the break, we were talking about how few supporters Donald Trump has within his own administration, and neither of us can think of a single person in the foreign policy section of the administration who would seem to support the foreign policy that Donald Trump ran and got elected on. And you mentioned Nikki Haley and Mike Pompeo and John Bolton, who are just extensions of Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israel's Likud party, and they are. Donald Trump, 95% of the stuff, at least 95% of what he has said about Iran, even as a candidate, I find reprehensible. But every now and then he says some things that maybe you could read into. And I remember in September 3 years ago, 2015, when the Senate was about to vote on this Iran nuclear treaty, and there was a rally in front of the Congress, and he and Ted Cruz were there, and Ted Cruz said the usual boilerplate stuff. Donald Trump said, oh, it's such a horrible treaty because the European companies are going to go in there and they're going to get rich and our companies are going to get nothing.
Yes.
Now, maybe he said more than that, but that's what was played on TV. And you think, that's a little bit different. And then just a couple days ago when he's at the UN, And of course he's bad talking Iran, but when he's in a more informal setting with reporters, he's saying, well, you know, Iran's economy is such that they're going to want to come and talk. And what did he say? I'll be glad to talk to them at the time. And we know from Donald Trump's history that he can say the most horrible things about somebody and then turn on a dime and suddenly they're best friends. And Kim Jong-un is a case in point. So I don't expect that to happen with Iran anytime soon. I think he needs the types of people that would support a John Bolton to be on his side for a while. I think that's his calculation. I wish he used a different math book. What do you think about that?
Well, as I look at this whole thing, this again is my biggest concern about Donald Trump in regard to who surrounds him. And it's not simply the Trump administration that is at risk here. I remember years ago when I was the Constitution Party and I was their U.S. Senate candidate in Delaware. This was the year before 9/11. I keep thinking about all the things I would have been running on if I'd been running in 2004 instead of 2000. But at any rate, in the years that followed in the Constitution Party, and then it also happened in the Tea Party movement, there were a series of people who arose in both of those arenas who had strong Zionist credentials. I'm referring to Dr. Alan Keyes, mm-hmm. who was trying to weasel his way into a Constitution Party nomination for president.
And he's a black radio show host.
Exactly.
He had run in a Republican presidential primary, and he was also parachuted in at the last minute to run against Barack Obama in, wasn't it 2004 when he ran for Senate?
Yes, and going all the way back to 1996, he suddenly appeared in the Republican Iowa caucuses as a means of diverting votes from Pat Buchanan, and the late Joe Sobran absolutely put his finger on it at the time. Bill Kristol, the nefarious Bill Kristol of the New Republic, right? Mm-hmm. Bill Kristol and Alan Keyes were roommates, folks, at Harvard. And it was Joe Sobran who uncovered this in 1996, and he said, "Well, here's Bill Kristol's stalking horse in the Republican caucuses in Iowa as a means of sabotaging Pat Buchanan." So there's been a long history of this with Keyes. And Jerome Corsi, Dr. Jerome Corsi, was the other one. Then unbelievably, Howard Phillips, the late Constitution Party chief, was promoting as a Constitution Party presidential candidate in 2004. Among other things, I don't think Howard ever forgave me for interviewing Corsi on this network, RBN, and I was just asking Corsi the right questions about his relationship with the Israeli intelligence community and with the certain people in the Israeli parliament, and Corsi was very forthcoming. He said, well, sure, that's all true. He had written the book Atomic Iran, and he talked about how these people would advise him in foreign policy issues and so forth. Well, it wasn't too long after that Corsi disappeared as a Constitution Party candidate for president. Now, in the same vein, the Tea Party, right? The Tea Party movement was basically an outgrowth of both the Buchanan and the Ron Paul presidential candidacies at different times. A lot of sound people in the Tea Party whose ideology pretty much matches up with ours, except there was this neocon Zionist element that snuck into the Tea Party that would say a lot of things on other issues that we would like, but all of a sudden in that arena was saying a lot of really bad stuff.
Right, and I want to ask, it had been my impression that this was like Glenn Beck and Fox News in the, like, maybe the day after Obama's inauguration. But right about Obama's inauguration, they started infiltrating in big numbers, and then by 2010, they were running a bunch of candidates. And maybe my timing's off. But
yeah, and the other thing, this even gets into what did or didn't happen in Charlottesville last year. And I hesitate to mention this, but the guy who was the organizer of that Charlottesville event, that an opportunity for the far left to arrange the violence that took place, where key officials party, including the governor of the state of Virginia and the mayor of Charlottesville, had stand downs of law enforcement and deliberately steered these people that had a legal permit to protest the removal of this Robert E. Lee statue from this park. They suddenly were told to get out, even though they had a legal permit. And then they were steered right into where these Marxist demonstrators were. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the establishment knew what was going to happen, and all the TV cameras were set up, and there was somebody with a central intelligence agency who was photographing all kinds of things that later showed up on social media that spun that situation in a completely different direction than it should have been spun.
Right.
And I
have a show on that next week, probably on Tuesday. I've already recorded it with Father Francis, who was there and also at the Washington Valley.
Hey, great. But at that time, of course, there are questions about this organizer on behalf of the Lee protesters. Mm-hmm. How is it that he worked for Barack Obama just a couple of years before or had at least...
Okay, we'll be right back.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page.
And we are back. Trader with Patrick Slattery and Mark Dankoff. We only have a few more minutes, Mark. I want to make sure that that you're able to finish any points that you wanted to make.
Yeah, I think when we look at this Kavanaugh business, that we are back once again to some diversionary stuff being undertaken by the left that is often ignored by the real right in this country. The Kavanaugh issue is what it is. I think the way his case is being handled is outlandish, and yet nonetheless the way it is being handled certainly diverts us from some considerations on the real right about what Kavanaugh actually believes in a couple of key areas. It's also diverting us from neoconservative Zionist hijacking, it seems, mm-hmm. of Trump's mm-hmm. foreign policy as it relates to Russia, mm-hmm. as it relates to Syria and Iran, And this has now reached the point, of course, where with all these new sanctions that are coming in against Iran, where we don't have time to cover this, certainly today, the EU and Russia and China have unveiled a very, very sophisticated and very, very brilliant system that's going to circumvent many of these sanctions on Iran. And so we can only wait until November when the United States attempts to enforce these sanctions on Iran's petroleum and gas industry to see how it's going to play out. But nonetheless, this Kavanaugh circus has diverted us both left and right from some other things that we ought to be asking in regard to how much more deeply are we going to allow Netanyahu to take us into the abyss.
Mm-hmm. You know, so we just have a couple more minutes. And earlier in the show, you talked about Maisie Hirono telling men to shut up. And, of course, got Kirsten Gillibrand, who's saying, you know, we have to believe women because women tell the truth. And there, people are saying these horrible things. Now, 20-something years ago, when you had the Anita Hill, you know, the black justice, I can't recall his name off the top of my head.
Clarence Thomas
hearings. In 1989 or whenever that was, I don't know, did you have any female members of the Senate? I'm not sure. You might have had one. Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer came in the next election. There was a big push for female candidates that was directly related to this, to Anita Hill. Is there going to be any male backlash? Like Hawaii, you've been to Hawaii. There are a lot of machos in Hawaii, as you know. Is there going to be any backlash against her for saying, you know, men have to shut up and you have to believe the women? And is there going to be anything that happens? Are men just going to take this?
Well, that's a $64,000 question, both in Hawaii as well as in the continental United States, as it pertains to Hawaii, as I think I mentioned before. Years ago, when I was at Trinity Lutheran School in Wahiawa, wonderful Lutheran parochial school, and then some years later when I was at Iolani School in downtown Honolulu, that was in an environment where you had people like Dan Inouye and Hiram Fong in the U.S. Senate, Inouye a Democrat, Fong a Republican. The most liberal Democrat I remember in Hawaii at that time with a national profile was Patsy Mink. Mm-hmm. We used to call her Patsy Pink, jokingly. Right. But to my knowledge, and I think I'm being fair here, I never heard Patsy Mink ever say anything this idiotic or irresponsible. I think this is an indication that we've moved into a whole new era.
Well, Mark Dankoff, thank you so much for being on the show. I hope you'll come back again very soon, because there's a lot of complicated issues out there, and we need your expertise.
Very good, and I will have an interview with Tasnim News Agency tomorrow dealing with who was really behind the Avaz terrorism incident there in southwestern Iran. So you'll be looking for that soon.
Okay, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I said again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.